Oh, humans make such a mess of things, and then they have to clean it up.
A toxic waste site oozing with sludge.
I called it industrial afterbirth.
And yet, its landscape architect preserved pieces of the very industry that poisoned the site.
Well, there's no other visual experience like this anywhere in the world.
Tonight is the second in the three-part series from PBS and Chicago station WTTW 10 that changed America. This evening's program looks at the 10 parks that changed America. And Seattle's Gas Works Park is one of them. The site of the former Seattle Gas Light Company opened to the public in 1975 and was the recycling vision of landscape architect Richard Hague, who saw potential where others saw just an ugly, dirty, poisonous field. Richard's approach, not really unusual for Seattle, go camping.
Richard Hague actually started living on the toxic site to get a better feel for its possibilities.
Sleeping bag. I moved around in these vacant buildings.
He quickly fell in love with the hulking ruins.
The most sacred element on the site was the big tower right there. So I decided quite early that I would go down to the wire to save that tower.
Hague eventually turned the site into a beloved destination. Thaisa Way is an urban landscape historian at the University of Washington and recipient of the Rome Prize in Landscape Architecture at the American Academy in Rome. She says Seattle's Gas Works Park was a tremendous risk that has paid off and become a model for industrial ruins reclamation.
There are three ways that any city could look at a site like Gas Works. One is it's really polluted, it's really bad, let's go somewhere else, let's like leave it in our backyard. But cities are getting too dense and that's really hard to do nowadays. The second is let's cart it all away and then get good soil and throw some grass seed, throw a few trees, everyone will be fine. And the third, which is where landscape architects come in, is no, let's really rethink this and do two things. Let's actually take care of the site and have an environmentally and socially responsible response to it, which requires some really creative thinking. And this Gas Works Park had soil ecologists and scientists in there, as well as water hydrologists, all sorts of people working, engineers. And then on top of that, let's make this a place that actually will be really responsive to people. So one of the interesting things that Gas Works did is this designer, Rich Hague, made a park in part response to the ecology, in part to the social part, that provided lots of sun. So it's one of the sunniest spots to go in Seattle. It's where anybody wants to go on a nice sunny day. And it provides, because of its topography, different scales of spaces, different kinds of spaces. And that's the way a landscape architect can think.
What sort of personality or confidence, or I don't even know what, does it take for someone to put a sundial in a place as cloudy and rainy as Seattle?
You know, it takes the same kind of audacious thinking as the whole Gas Works Park did. What Rich Hague would say, we need to see with new eyes. And he could argue that just like the Gas Works, which we took this site that lots of people thought, just get rid of, just throw it away, start over, and said, no, we can actually create something out of the pieces that are there. You could argue it's the same thing when he turned to the artist and the artist said, you know, of all the places where we're going to celebrate the sun, we're going to celebrate up here on the top of this hill. And on sunny days, on any day where the sun shines for even 5 minutes, this sundial will celebrate that moment. And you could argue that's audacious, it's confident, but it's also where creativity comes in, is understanding that we don't have to think of everything the way we've always thought of it.
So that would explain why the structures on the site are almost like sculpture. You don't have to take a building that isn't being used and tear it down and put up a new building or have no space there. You can actually use the remnants of the existing building as a perfectly valid space in and of itself.
Right, exactly. And not only that, but you can turn it into a building that does something different. So in Gas Works Park, we took a building that was a shed for all sorts of machinery, cleaned and painted the machinery, and it becomes a wonderland for kids. The last thing in the world that the people who built it would ever think that it would become. Or you turn rusty old towers into this sublime view on the waterfront, or you turn, you know, a flat piece of marshy land that had had at least 9 feet of industrial sludge piled up on top of it, and you make it into this rolling hill that's almost a microcosm of the city itself. And all of those take saying, what do we have here? And if we looked at it upside down, sideways, inside out, what else could we imagine?
You know, you could argue that some of this is worth doing because it demonstrates what's possible, but often demonstrating what's possible isn't cost effective and, you know, serves as just a kind of a demonstration project or a one-off.
Right now, today, we don't have an urban site that's not toxic in some way, shape, or form. We have added pollution to our soils and water in every city, bar none. So what Gasworks had the audacity to do, every city's having to do, and we're experimenting with those. So in some way, that started a whole movement and changed the public's opinion about the potential of what we could do. The other piece I'd throw in is I think, and this gets back to this whole idea of taking our public space seriously, if we're going to take it seriously, we have to invest in it. And one of the most dangerous routes I think we can take is thinking of them all as purely financial investments, and that somehow public space shouldn't require huge financial investment. And, you know, obviously, as somebody who looks at the history of public spaces in cities, I think those investments are critical. And yes, sometimes they're going to be high, because that's exactly the kind of thinking that we're going to need to do in the 21st century, dealing with climate change, dealing with social justice issues, dealing with, you know, myriad of environmental and economical issues. We're going to have to rethink how we use the resources. And some of those resources are things that we've created, like highways, housing projects. My hope, if I could wave a magic wand, is that people watch this and then go out to their own communities and say, so what's next? What's something we could do in our neighborhood, in our community, that in 40 years, people will say that changed?
Well, you can hear it in your voice. The blueprint dreams of Thaisa Way, urban landscape historian, professor in landscape architecture and director of the Urban at UW at the University of Washington, also recipient of the Rome Prize in Landscape Architecture at the American Academy in Rome. Thaisa, thanks so much.
You bet.